Scott Tatey here, 977 The Rock Station. It's about to get bad here because we've got on the other end of the line Mr. George Thorogood. All right, I believe everyone's locked in. Let's get this going. He's headed our way. February 22nd, a concert at Rivers Casino. Mr. George Thorogood, let's see. George, greetings from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this is George Thorogood.
Yeah, looking forward to having you back on stage here this February at our Rivers Casino. You're a man who's played 8,000 shows over 50 years, but I recently saw a quote. You said you're ready to work harder, dig deeper, and play stronger. How do you do that? How does George Thorogood play harder or work stronger?
Well, I just saw a video of Tom Jones doing It's a Man's World. That'll inspire you. And he's 10 years older than me.
Good point. You got your trusty bandmates of Destroyers, including ground level members Jeff Simon, Bill Blau. Are you guys like telepathic now? Are you able to like read each other's minds on stage after 48 years or whatever?
Well, they're going to be pretty pissed off if they read mine.
Fair enough. You call it the baddest show on earth, and I'm sure it'll include all the hits. Are you dipping in any deep cuts or any surprise covers, testing any new material?
Hopefully not.
I like it. Let's talk about a few hits. Gear Jammer, a staple of our station, a staple of your live sets, too. It's like a truck driving.
Gear Jammer?
Yeah, it's like a truck driving rock and roll song. We've heard country songs that way. What inspired you to write Gear Jammer?
I'll tell you what inspired me to do that. As time went on, years ago, we have to fuel up in truck stops. So did that 95% of the music or 90% of the music in truck stops, videos, cassettes, things like that, was usually country and western music. Now, as time went on, I noticed the newer generation, Generation X, were turning on more to rock music. Hmm. And that's why I did it. I said, you know, let's get a rock song that's about, you know, a 16-wheeler truck driver. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what did it. You know, that was the inspiration behind it.
Let's check out Gear Jammer. You've had an appreciation for classic country. You did Hank Williams' Moving On Over, too. Why is that important to you to pay homage to some of the trailblazers of different genres?
That's a beautiful Pittsburgh accent. I think the proper word is homage.
Homage.
The H is silent. Anyway, never mind. Never mind about that. I'll tell you what happened was, it's good you asked that because I remember when I heard Robert Johnson and Hank Williams' music long time ago, young age, and I couldn't decide which artist was greater. They both blew me away.
Hmm.
I kept listening to Robert Johnson, kept listening to Hank Williams, back and forth. And I thought, you know, Georgie boy, if you could get a Hank Williams song and play fly guitar on it like Robert Johnson with a rock beat, you might have something. And we got it in just under the wire because I figured if Linda Ronstadt gets a hold of this song and puts it up a higher key for her voice, I'm dead in the water. Got it?
Fair enough. And then, of course, got to ask Bad to the Bone. Do you remember where, when, or how that intro riff came to you? Was it in a dream, or how'd you come up with it?
Not knowing it, I was a long time ago, just starting on the guitar. I snuck backstage here, Mississippi Fred McDowell, and Bonnie Raitt was working with him. They were on a show that night, and she was practicing with her guitar, and accidentally she did that riff. I don't think she was even conscious of it. And I went, now that's close to what Muddy Waters does and Bo Diddley does, but it's not exactly like it is. So I started pulling around, and I said, now if you can get some Bo Diddley type lyrics on there, those exotic lyrics, you know, like Jumpin' Jack Flash or... Ramblin' Gamblin' Man by Bob Seger. If you could put something to that, you might have something.
Oh, yeah, and you did. Let's play it. Here's Bad to the Bone.
Was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad, bad, bad. To the bone. I broke 1,000 hearts before I met you. I'll break 1,000 more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad, bad. Bad. Bad to the bone. A rich woman beg, and I make a good woman steal. I make an old woman blush, and I make a young girl squeal. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad, 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 bad to the bone. Every woman I meet, they all stay satisfied. I want to tell you, pretty baby, what I see, I make my own. And I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
And two questions about your legendary, the 50 states and 50, or the 51 states in 50 days. What was the toughest gig to get to? Were there any tour van troubles or flat tires on a bus or airport delays? Or, you know, what do you remember about the toughest part of that 51 states in 50 days?
The second one we did on that particular tour, I caught an unbelievably nasty head cold. I was sick the whole time.
Still powered on through. I like it. And legend has it you were
well,
the first.
I had no choice, did I?
Right. The show goes on. Legend has it you were the first opening act to get a standing ovation from Rolling Stones fans. Do you remember that? Like peering out in the crowd and seeing.
Wait a minute. Back up. A standing ovation at the Rolling Stones show. Listen to me, baby. They were already standing. They had been there since 7:30 in the morning, and we went on at about noon. So they were already standing.
Well, they didn't sit. That's a good thing. All right, then I got to ask you. I interviewed you once before, and I asked a Pittsburgh question. I think I know where you're going to go with this. If I say the word Pittsburgh, what's the first thing that came to mind? When I asked you that before, you went back to October 1960 in a baseball game.
That was my first baseball experience ever. I had never heard of game. I never played baseball. Nothing, and I was getting off the school bus. I was in grade school, for God's sakes, and the bus driver's listening to the baseball game, the World Series. And I didn't even know what the World Series meant. And I heard, there's the lineup and a pitch. Mazeroski swings. Boom, home run. My very first baseball experience was that one pitch. I listened to none of the series. I caught that one particular incident, and that's what did it. And they beat the Yankees. That says it all.
One of the most famous games ever. And one last question. Delaware University recently honored you. They named an alley after you. They gave you a Medal of Distinction. You know, did you ever see that day coming? What does that mean to you to be honored by a university?
Well, I spent a lot of time in those alleys, pal.
All right, George, anything else you want to say to Pittsburgh fans coming out to the show?
Hang in there. Someday you'll get another Willie Stargell. You'll never get another Roberto Clemente. Okay? But hang in there. Somewhere there's a pennant waiting for the Pirates.
Maybe a Bill Mazeroski. I love it. George, thank you so much for your time.
Rock and roll never sleeps. It just passes out.
Thanks. Keep up the great work.
Bye-bye.